Eric Stevens, the Iceman Cometh on Twitter, beat reporter for the Ducks, joins us once again. How are you, Iceman?
I'm well, Jason. How are you doing these days?
I'm doing very well. Do people just call you the Iceman for fun now? They should.
You know, I hear that a few times. I hear it a few times. I don't mind it.
I want to look at the Ducks. Clearly, they need a second-line center after Ryan Getzlaff. I think that's obvious. Who do you like? Ryan Kesler's name's out there. I just don't see the Vancouver trading him within the division, especially now where you got to get out of your division even to get to go to the conference final. Does Jason Spezza make sense in your mind? What are some other options do you think for the Ducks?
Well, yeah, I think you touched on it, and it's funny with the Kesler stuff. You know, obviously they went after him hard at the trade deadline, came up empty along with Pittsburgh. And part of it is that I think that's the thing that, you know, part of the reason why he didn't move is that I think the Canucks, one of the reasons was they're sort of hesitant to see Ryan Kesler, you know, damage them four or five times a year. So, I mean, Kesler is the ideal target for them because of the things that he obviously brings, whether offense, his ability to win faceoffs, grit, he certainly brings a level of nastiness that I think the Ducks do need and do realize that they need. But Spezza might be the more likely option just because obviously he's in the other conference. It'd be an easier deal probably to make than the Kesler deal. And from what I understand is that that they do like what Spezza. While they can't speak publicly about it, obviously, they do like some of the things that he brings to the table. Obviously, the offensive upside is there. But they could probably play him with safe minutes because they'd be able to pair him with Ryan Getzlaff, who'd take a lot of the heavier stuff. And that would be a great, obviously, 1-2 combo that they'd be looking hard at. But those I think, are definitely at the top of their wish list. But, you know, there's other centers out there, you know, whether Eric Staal or possibly a Paul Stastny or, you hear Jill Thornton. There's definitely availability there.
When you look at the Ducks overall, they have that number 10 overall pick. Do you would they dangle that to get a center? Like, are they in a win-now type of mode?
I think they're more towards it. I mean, you know, Bob Murray, you know, sort of at on breakup day, sort of said that, you know, what, you know, maybe we're not as close as everyone thinks we are. And I think there is an element of truth to that, and it was sort of proven there in that series against the Kings. But, you know, that said, I mean, you know, this is still a very talented group, like you mentioned, with a lot of great pieces, a lot of young pieces as well, and those draft picks that can certainly be made available in trade. I think certainly they would prefer to trade their own pick, mm-hmm. Which I believe will be a 24.
Yep.
But if it takes, you know, going back to the route of throwing that number 10 pick in there in order to get a Kesler or a Spezza, I think they would do it because they're going to be good again next year. And they're at that time where it's time to make the big move. They have the prospects. They don't need to keep backlogging them. It's time to make the big move, and certainly they sense it, and I don't think they've really, you know, hidden that fact.
And you look at their defense, like, if, because the number 10 overall pick wouldn't get it straight up for a guy like Spezza Kesler, they'd have to add to it. They've got a lot of depth on the blue line. Sheldon Surrey, we hear, is supposed to be healthy. He's coming back. You got Fowler, a young guy, Lindholm, Vatanen, Lovejoy, Allen, Spezza. Like, you go down the list. They got a ton of depth at the back end. If they were going to move one of the young defensemen, because I don't think teams are going to want to get the veteran guys at their age, who do you think they would be most likely to part with?
Well, I think certainly, you know, if you look among that young group, I think easily Lucas Spezza would be the one they'd want to move.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whether he in a package, you know, with picks, prospect, et cetera, you know, would be able to be enough to land a big fish, I'm not so certain. You know, the next one, I mean, they love Sammy Vatanen. certainly they love what he brings to the table. I think they definitely see him in a full-time role next year. But, you know, he might be probably that the one that's, you know, sort of the tipping point in terms of the big pieces that you're going to have to throw in there to again, you know, land one of these big guys. You know, I don't think, you know, I think they definitely would prefer to trade Spezza, but, you know, given that he was, you know, injured this year and sort of not, you know, not in the mix at times on that deep blue line, you know, I'm not sure that would be enough. And Vatanen would probably be the next. The untouchables really would be Fowler and Lindholm. I mean, those two, they're not going anywhere.
No. You look at Lindholm, who's obviously a few years younger than Fowler. He just seemed to come on and get better. Now, I know that they protected him late in the year, but if you had to project, who do you think has bigger upside long-term between those two?
Between Fowler and Lindholm?
Yeah.
You know, it's a good question. I know that they really view Lindholm as a kid that can eventually be, you know, maybe even a number one. I mean, definitely a number two, but potentially a number one. He's got some offensive abilities. While he may not be a guy that's going to give you 40 and 50 points regularly, he's got some offensive abilities to go with that, just that great hockey sense that he already has. And he's a pretty stout defender already at 19 and 20 years old, and you figure that he's only going to get a lot better in that regard. You know, but that said, I mean, Fowler had the big breakout year that he was supposed to have. He should have had, you know, and he made some really great strides defensively. So, you know, I know I'm sort of hedging a bit, but that really is a great question in terms of which one will be, you know, I guess would have the bigger career or in the long run. But I know with Lindholm for sure, they definitely see a top pairing guy. In the long run, he may not be quite ready for it, but give him another couple of years, and he should be there.
Give me a guy you know very well, Daniel Winnick. You know, people in Edmonton are asking about him. What does he bring, Erica? Is he he doesn't bring a lot of offense. So is he a third line guy? Did he not get opportunities there? You know, could this guy be a 15 goal scorer? Like, what do you think Daniel Winnick is on a team like Edmonton?
Well, I'll tell you what, I really like him. I think he's one of those players that while you can say maybe he's replaceable in some senses, you know, being a winger, and you could probably find more of those guys than, say, a centerman or whatsoever, he's a guy that I feel he just does all the little things that, you know, teams, all 30 teams need. And I think that's, you know, certainly what the Oilers need, I think, more of it. You know, just a guy that's, you know, it's big, he can skate well, you know, he can kill penalties. Yes, he doesn't have the finish, you know, that you'd like. And that might have frustrated the Ducks a little bit. But he does all those, you know, those other, again, all those other little things that you just need. You know, a guy that at the end of the games that you can put out there to protect a one-goal lead. You know, you gotta have that on your squad, and I think that's, you know, that's how Daniel Winnick has been able to play in this league for, you know, probably going on 9-10 years, and why I think he'll be able to find a job and be able to stay in this league.
Erik Stevens joins us talking about the Anaheim Ducks. What's the future of Koivu?
You know, that's that really is a good question. From what I understand, he's still, you know, deciding on what he wants to do. I think in his heart of hearts, I think he wants to play, or I think he thinks he has enough left for one more year. But then the other, you know, the flip side of that question is, would it be with the Ducks? I think he certainly, if he wants to come back, certainly he wants to remain in Anaheim. But I also get the sense that the Ducks are also ready to move on in that sense and get younger, you know, certainly down the middle. Of course, they have to address the middle there, but, you know, they've got Getzlaff, they've got Nick Bonino, they've got Rick Harwickel that they really like, and obviously they want to plug that number two hole with another big name. I think that's probably their ideal scenario as far as what they'd like to go into the season with. And, you know, I'm not certain that that Saku would say maybe have a place in Anaheim, you know, if he does, you know, so want to come back. But in my heart of hearts, and the feeling that I got in talking with him at the end of the year, I think he may feel like he has enough to take one more crack at it.
And if he takes a crack at it, like if he comes back to Anaheim, he's more of a third line player. Like he's not a guy that they think they could stopgap for one more year as a second line center. They would still be heavily going after a second line center.
Oh no, no, for sure. And you know what, Jason? I mean, he was really a third line guy the whole year. And I'm not even so certain that he's really that anymore. I mean, it's his you know, he's sort of worn down and wore down some in the playoffs. You know, at the very end of the series against LA, he was playing 9-10 minutes a night in a couple of games, really only being used more in defensive situations. And I think that's what is sort of what he is at this point. I don't think you can really say count on him for a whole lot of offense, you know, anymore. But you know, he can still kill you some penalties. He's obviously a very smart hockey player. I mean, it's, you know, no one will ever dispute that. And he can play some defense, but I think his role is sort of, you know, a little bit more limited these days. And you know, you'll have to, you know, we'll have to see if it's going to be with Anaheim or, you know, potentially someone else, potentially obviously a title contender, because if he has to go elsewhere, I think that's, you know, he's only going to look for spots. Where he thinks he can have a good role on a team that can contend.
And who do you think is going to be the starting goaltender for the Ducks next year?
Well, I think it's to start next year. I think both will play quite a bit early. Anderson and Gibson, who will emerge in the end. Obviously, who plays better, but. You know, Gibson, I mean, the fact that they you know, Anderson was hurt, but they showed no qualms in turning to Gibson in the playoffs. I mean, he's seen really as the heir apparent, you know, and I think, you know, likely over, you know, over the long run, he may emerge, but you don't want to discount what Freddie Anderson did. He did great last year, and I think he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Eric, always good to catch up with you. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jason.